From NPR News, this is Talk of the Nation. I'm Ira Flatow. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty has this news update. Barbara?
Hi, Ira. President Bush just talked to a group of veterans today, a few minutes ago. He said that Saddam Hussein's regime now controls just a small portion of Iraq, but he said the war will require, quote, further courage and further sacrifice. Earlier in the day, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld issued a warning to Syria. He said the U.S. had monitored shipments from Syria to Iraq, shipments with military equipment such as night vision goggles. Rumsfeld said the U.S. would consider shipments, quote, hostile acts, and Syria would be held responsible. There was also the first public dispute among military officials about how prepared U.S. troops were for a war in Iraq. Lieutenant General William Wallace, who's the Army's senior commander on the ground, told two news organizations that, quote, the enemy we're fighting against is different from the one we had war-gamed against, implying that the Pentagon's war strategists may have misunderstood the resistance by Iraq's paramilitary forces that prompted denials by the U.S. Central Command in Qatar. On the ground in Iraq, Defense Secretary Rumsfeld said U.S. and British forces are about 50 miles outside of Baghdad. And today, Baghdad saw one of its heaviest days of bombing. The U.S. military dropped what's believed to be the first so-called bunker buster bombs. These are laser-guided bombs weighing more than 4,600 pounds. And Arab television is quoting an Iraqi doctor who says that more than 50 civilians in a market were killed. Now, there is no confirmation on that. And finally, there's been more fierce fighting today in the southern city of Nasiriyah. Four Marines are reported to be missing in that area. In addition, three more Marines died today, bringing the total number of American deaths to around 30. That's all from now.
Thank you, Barbara. And now we're going to turn to some news about chemical and biological warfare and possibly ways to detect it on the ground as if it might be being used. Of course, you've seen pictures of the U.S. and British troops in Iraq. They're constantly on the lookout for evidence of chemical or biological weapons. Thousands of Iraqi chemical suits have been found, and there's speculation that Iraq may be holding back on using these weapons until American forces get close to Baghdad, if they have the weapons at all. But the troops have already been taking precautions, donning their protective suits at times, and they are armed with a new generation of sensors, protective gear, to try to detect and prevent contamination. And they have medicine to quickly treat soldiers who are exposed. So how does the detection process work? Here to talk about that with us is retired General Walter Busby. He's chair of the Chemical Biological Defense Division at the National Defense Industrial Association in Arlington, Virginia. He was the program director of the U.S. Army's Biodetection Program at the Edgewood Chemical Biological Center. He joins us today by phone from Northern Virginia. Welcome to the program, General Busby.
Good afternoon, Ira.
Which chemicals and biological weapons do we fear the most that Iraq may have?
Well, the full range of those weapons that were reported in the initial United Nations inspections. He has a full array of nerve agents, including VX, which is the most deadly, a series of toxins, which are harmful to as well, and a whole series of anthrax and various kinds of weapons, camelpox, aflatoxin, a whole series of things which he never completely verified to the satisfaction of the international community that he had disposed of at the end of the inspection period in 1998.
We haven't actually, meaning the U.S. and the British forces haven't actually, and anybody hasn't actually found any of the weapons themselves.
That's my understanding.
But we have found, meaning the British and U.S. forces have found evidence that they might be there.
They found areas that were suspect, and from my understanding, none of those sites have been fully exploited. There's a ground war going on with people trying to cover territory and make sure that they have security in place. There are special units that have been put together to go in and do detailed search of suspect production facilities, as well as when we start going and looking at ammunition bunkers to ensure that there's not a mixture of chemical and conventional munitions in them, such as there was in the Gulf War at a place called Camisea that you might be familiar with. Mm-hmm. There are all sorts of other places where these kinds of munitions or the precursors that go in them could be readily sequestered, hidden, either in their ready-to-go condition or in a condition where they could be uploaded and put into munitions or devices. So that's a very difficult proposition in the middle of a war in a country the size of equivalent size to California.
Tell us about some of the detection instruments that the U.S. troops are using on the battlefield.
Well, the U.S. And the coalition forces, the British, have some advanced chemical and biological agent detection systems as well, have really moved, I guess, what would best be described as a generation in their capability since the early Gulf War. We basically entered that conflict with instruments that were based upon ion mobility types of instruments. You almost had to retune or have a separate chamber for each kind of agent you were trying to detect. That technology has been supplanted, increased and improved and supplanted by a whole series of chemical alarms and detectors that can cover an entire large spectrum of potential threat agents, including toxins and including toxic industrial chemicals such as phosgene or chlorine or other industrial gases that might be released either advertently or inadvertently on the battlefield. That's in the chemical area. We also have in the chemical sensing area systems now which can look out, so-called standoff systems. You can put them at a fixed location. They can look out several kilometers. Mm-hmm. So if there is a Scud impact or a rocket impact, to be able to pick up and detect if that material has a chemical agent in it before the cloud arrives on you, as compared with the past where we had to go out, take a sample, or put an instrument right at the site of the of where that munition may have been detonated. Much the same capability has been developed in the biological detection arena, but it's much more difficult and much more challenging, particularly in an environmental release, where there are all kinds of things that can give you indications of biologically viable material in the background, but it may not be a BW agent.
Are these sensors, these sniffers, if I might call them, are they mounted on their backpacks? Are they on modified fighting vehicles? How do they go out and sniff the air?
Well, a couple of them can be carried by a soldier or a Marine, but the normal method of using these devices is they're emplaced around a large unit, large formation, or they're placed around a fixed base like a port or an airfield, and then they are networked together as a group of sensors so that you have an outer ring of or a perimeter of defense against you. Mm-hmm. We do have a new vehicle, a vehicle that was introduced during the Gulf War called the Fox Reconnaissance Vehicle, which has on-the-move capability. It can move along with the fighting formations and do chemical agent detection. It can sample for biological agent and then present that material for one of our laboratories. We have forward laboratories that can move forward with the forces or are set up in the rear areas where they can do detail determination of both the chemical structure as well as a biological agent, confirm its species and genus so that you can begin taking appropriate medical countermeasures to save as many lives as possible for those folks who may have been exposed in case they did not get the warning from one of the alarms or agents that are far forward.
Have these been deployed? Have these new technologies actually been put to the test in actual battle?
They have not been put to the test in actual battle. Fortunately, the last time chemical weapons were used on a large scale on the battlefield was by in the Iran-Iraq War. Mm-hmm. That's 15 years ago, and then the use against the Kurdish folks in the northern part of Iraq. But these systems have been put in field trials in the United Kingdom, in Canada, and the Western United States at our principal training range, where we're able to take these instruments and using simulants, not real agents, but using simulants that act much the same as the agents do, to be able to determine that, in fact, they can do the detection, and more importantly, that we're able to sort out the agent of concern from normal background interference, such as diesel fume, burning fires, a whole series of things that could potentially cause you a false alarm. Our real problem in the Gulf War and those first generation systems was that we frankly had an alarm rate, a false alarm rate, that was too high. We had everyone masking all the time. Many of those problems have been solved in the chemical agent and the biological agent detection system has advanced much along those same lines. All of these new systems have been tested against the real thing, but it's been done in closed chambers, in safe facilities where there's no possibility of release to the environment. Mm-hmm. So, make a long story short, we have tested them in simulated battlefield conditions out in the open desert using smoke against them, using fires against them, and using simulated bio or chemical agent. We've taken those same instruments and we've put them inside a chamber and tested them against the real thing, the live agent, if you will, and have then been able to demonstrate with pretty high degree of confidence those items that we can detect, what the detection limits are, what the false alarm rates might be, and therefore learn how to best employ these devices to give us as much protection as possible.
Mm-hmm. I'm Ira Flatow, and this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Talking with retired General Walter Busby, chair of the Chemical Biological Defense Division at the National Defense Industrial Association in Arlington, Virginia. Of course, time is of the essence when you detect something. How quickly can you, if I put the word diagnosis, how quickly can you sniff and diagnose what you have there and take action?
In the chemical agent area, we have the capability now where it's almost near real time, within a matter of seconds or minutes, in which you can detect that a threat agent, an agent that is going to be harmful to man, is in the area, and you can sound the alarm. The same general capability has been developed in the biodetection area, but it's much more difficult because you're dealing with viable material, of which there are many things in the air normally existing around agricultural areas, around areas in which there's animal activity, livestock, in which there's naturally occurring material in the soil, which might give you a false alarm. In those cases, those biological agent detections can give you an indication or of a warning that you have a problem within a matter of minutes. What you then do is you take the protective measure for those troops who are downwind from that location to put on their mask. They may have to suit up at that point in time, put on their full protective suit, until you can get the all clear alarm. I don't want to overstate this, but then in order to do confirmatory sampling and analysis, you must take some of those samples, and our biological agent detection and our chemical FOX vehicle on the move can get liquid or soil samples from the suspect area. Within the FOX vehicle, we can do a mass spec determination inside that vehicle of what the compound is. In the biological area, we have to take those samples back to a Theater Army Medical Laboratory or one of the mobile laboratories that we've developed and sent over there for the purpose of being able to exploit potential storage and production sites in the latter phases of the war. And that's as difficult as going to get a strep throat test at your doctor. You can get an instant result, but to determine species and what it is, you must do a culture. So that can be a matter of hours up to a day in order to get specifics. But the instruments, the detection instruments and technology we have today give you an opportunity to button up and guard a lot of folks while you're doing that confirmatory identification of the exact species of particularly BW agent that is concerned, so that you can take the appropriate medical measures, countermeasures to minimize the loss of life or the incidence of sickness that may result.
General, I have about 30 seconds left, but if there's a contamination, if there's an attack on the battlefield, let's say by chemical weapons, does the battlefield remain contaminated and unusable after that?
Only with some of the more persistent agents. The VX nerve agent is the one of most concern, but if it's in sand, it's going to dissipate. If it's on a hard surface or a road area, runway, we're going to have to go in and take the measures to decontaminate that, and we have those capabilities as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've run out of time, and I want to thank you very much for joining us. Retired General Walter Busby, who is chair of the Chemical Biological Defense Division of the National Defense Industrial Association in Arlington, Virginia. Thanks again for joining us. From NPR News in New York, I'm Ira Flatow. Back to Neil Conan in Washington. Neil?
Thanks very much, Ira. Nice to hear Science Friday. Our special war coverage was produced this week by Justine Kennan, Setsko Sato, Susan Lund, Alicia Montgomery, Megan Williams, Brendan Banizak, Ellen Gettler, and Andy Lyman. Our director is Chad Campbell. Our technical crew included Kevin Waite, Michael Cullen, Vince Muse, Cal Southworth, Mitch Eaton, Kevin Langley, and Jerry Tennant. Special thanks to Lauren Jenkins, Gemma Hooley, and Tim Dalton. Marcus Rosenbaum is our senior editor with help from Gwen Tompkins. Sue Goodwin is our senior producer. Our executive producer is Leith Bishop. We'll be back with special coverage whenever events warrant. You can stay tuned to this NPR station for the latest as things happen in the war with Iraq. To hear and see more war coverage, you can go to npr.org. You'll find collections of commentaries and essays, extended interviews, reading lists, and other resources. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News in Washington.